Today's scripture is from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 25. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good, even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction?
I don't think he meant to do it, but when the writer of James wrote this, he started a bit of an argument because the Apostle Paul had written that it is not about the law and the keeping of the law and the rituals, that we are saved by grace through faith. So it's not of works that anyone should boast, that it's not by our works that we are saved, that we are practicing our faith, that we are Christians because of our works. If we could do that, if we could work our way into heaven, if we could work our way into a relationship with God through our own actions, then Jesus would not have died on the cross. That would have been useless. Why would Christ, the incarnation of God, give his very life on the cross, and then the power and the miracle of the resurrection in this glorious moment of overcoming sin, why would all that be necessary if we could work our way to salvation, if we could work our way into union with God? And so that gets quoted often, that it's not by works that we are saved. It is not by works that we should boast, but it is by the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And it is the redemption of Christ that changes us. It is the grace of God within us and our faith that is developed because of that grace that brings us into relationship with God now and in eternity. Well, that seems simple enough. It's profound, but that is a simple version of the Christian faith. Then the writer of James comes along and starts an argument. He says, wait a minute, it's not just about faith. Are you really just going to say to those in need, go forth and be well fed? You believe that something could happen, and yet you don't do anything? Is that really faith? And so Paul and James have been sort of put at odds with one another in some of these debates. And people sometimes take one side or the other. They lean towards Paul or they lean towards James in their theology. But what I hope that we can do today is see that the inspiration of God was on both these writers, that both of these writers were inspired to write the truth of God. And while they may seem on the surface to be contradicting one another, they're actually pointing us in a broader, more profound direction. That we're not going to pick one or the other. We're not going to say it's just by faith, or as James writes, well, your faith without deeds is dead. We're not going to divide those. We're going to see the broader picture that James is presenting. I think what we can do is put this very simply, that the Christian life, the relationship with God, is not just a practice of belief. It is a practice of action as well. That Sometimes in the Christian life, we get wrapped up in our knowledge. That I believe there is a God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the incarnation of God. I believe that Jesus Christ gave his life for us in death and resurrection. And I believe that because of that faith and grace that I will spend eternity with him. In fact, to close our service, we have a little tradition. We read the Apostles' Creed because we want to be reminded of all those things I just said. That we believe in God, we believe in Jesus, we believe in the Holy Spirit, we believe in the universal church, we believe all of these things. But James would challenge us and say, okay, so what? What are you going to do with that? He challenges us to say that the Christian faith is not just a set of knowledge, a set of belief systems, a set of doctrines. That's certainly important. But how do we live that out? How do we practice that every day? He gives the example, the physical example, that if we say to someone in need, go forth and be well fed. Well, what good is that if you don't do anything? We can put this on a spiritual level. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but if I did and I said, how many believe in prayer? I bet a lot of people in this room believe that prayer is real and that Christian part of the Christian faith is to pray to God. If I said, how many people pray every day? It's possible not everyone would raise their hand. Sometimes we get busy. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get angry with God and we just don't want to talk to him. We don't admit that. We don't say that out loud. But we do. We're emotional people. And sometimes we just don't know what to say. Sometimes we get discouraged because we prayed and things just didn't work out the way we wanted to. Sometimes we get hurt. Someone dies. Some tragedy happens in our life and we just kind of shut down. We don't even know what to say to God anymore. And so we believe in prayer, and yet, do we? The reality is, most surveys, particularly in the United States, show that most Christians don't pray on a regular basis. Now, those of you that do are probably shocked by that. But most surveys show that most Christians don't pray on a regular basis. And yet, if you ask any Christian, do you believe in prayer? They say, sure. And so we have the belief, we have the doctrine, we have that understanding, and yet are we practicing that? James would come along and say, so you believe in prayer? So what? If you're not practicing your prayer life on a regular basis, if you're not in connection with God on a regular basis. If we ask Christians, do you believe the Bible is God's teaching to us? That God's story and God's will is revealed in the pages of Scripture? I think most Christians would say yes. I think every Christian would say yes. Now, of course, we debate that. We debate the meaning. We have liberal interpretations and conservative interpretations that are at odds with one another. But even then, all Christians, regardless of how they might interpret the Scripture, would say, yes, there is the truth of Scripture. I believe in the Bible. I believe that it is God's teaching to us. If we say, do you read it? Many Christians will say, well, no, not very much. Maybe occasionally. Not as much as I should. Well, I mean to, but I'm just so busy. And so we have the belief, we have the faith that God has given us the Scripture, and yet we don't practice that belief by actually reading it and studying it and hearing God speak to us through the Scriptures. Those are a couple of examples how we can have faith, we can have belief. But James does a very important thing. He doesn't discount that belief. He doesn't do away with it. He doesn't say that we shouldn't have it. He says, where is it? How are you practicing the faith? Sometimes I think we get the idea that faith is something that we just sort of have. That it just exists. that in, we may have various religious traditions, Christian traditions in this room, but every Christian denomination has a sort of a justification, usually a ritual. We call it getting saved or being baptized or being confirmed into the church. There's a number of different practices in different denominations, but we have that moment in life where we say, yes, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am part of the church of the particular denomination that we are in. And sometimes I think that we believe that faith comes at that moment and that we are a Christian at that moment, and that's it. We were saved, or we were confirmed, or we were baptized, whatever our religious tradition calls for, and that was the moment of our faith. And then it exists upon us, like a lot of other things, that we have arms. We don't grow arms in our adulthood. We just have them. It's just part of us. They came upon us at one time, and now we have them. And I think we think of faith like that. It came upon us at one time, and now we have them. Now we have faith. But I think James comes along and challenges that and says, no, it's not an event that took place, as important as that was. And I don't want to discount that very important process of life. But James would challenge us to think that it's more than that, that it is a work in progress. It is a practice that through our actions, and that may be charitable actions, but it can be prayer, it can be whatever God is leading us to do at that moment of our life. How are we practicing the faith that we are followers of Jesus Christ every day? Sometimes, if you ask Christians, so what demonstrates that you have faith? Well, I go to church. That's really good. We like it when you go to church. That's a good thing. We have church one day a week. What about the other six? Going to church is very important. And we hope, it is our prayer and our trust that the Spirit moves within our church in the preaching, the singing, the prayers, all that we do to practice faith, that it is part of your practice of faith. But we only have it one day a week. We're only here for about an hour. Now, if you practiced anything 1 hour a week, how good would you be? Probably okay. If you practiced guitar or piano or gardening or anything else 1 hour a week, you might be okay. Although, do you go to church 1 hour every week? I mean, you're going to be sick a couple of weeks a year, right? Just not feel well. So now we're down to 50 hours a week. Do you go to church when you're on vacation or when you're on a business trip? Maybe, maybe not. That may be something you do, maybe not. So if you don't, you're going to be out of town 3, 4, 6 weeks out of the year. Now we're down to, say, 45 hours a year. If you put your practice into faith 45 hours a year, what would you be good at? And you know, sometimes you have family come in and you mean to come to church, but if you got a house full of people, that's hard, isn't it? That's going to happen a time or two a year, isn't it? Especially in an international city like Prague, and people want to come and visit. Now we're down to 43 hours a year to practice your faith. If you practice guitar or piano or gardening or any other thing for 43 hours a year, would you be good at it? Maybe. It's better than nothing. But I don't think that's the practice we're going for. Okay, that's not what we're looking for. If you practice something 43 hours a year, give or take, I don't know that you're going to be really good at it. And so even if you're someone who goes to church 43 weeks a year is considered a very regular church attender. All the things I named were very legitimate reasons to miss church, that you would not be in church those years for job travel and illness and family visits. Those are pretty legitimate reasons. I don't think anyone's going to argue with you for missing church for those reasons. So you would be considered a very dedicated church attender if you went to church 43 hours a year. It's a start. It's better than nothing. It's not a practice. That is an occasional tipping of the hat, a looking in the direction. James would challenge us to say, okay, you have faith. That may be something that you possess, but how are you practicing that faith? How is it growing within you? How is that a practice? We talk about that in the medical field. The English word is that we're practicing medicine. That medicine is a practice because we're continually learning. There are new things about the body. There are new understandings. And people are different. Okay? Some things work for one patient and not for another. So it's a work in progress. I even said that earlier today. We've made some changes. Our mission team came and did some things. But I said, it's a work in progress. We may have to rethink some things. Some things we did may work, and they may be fantastic. Other things, we may realize that didn't work very well, and we'll have to change it. It's a practice. Our faith needs to be like that too. Not just medicine, not just the practice of church, but all the things we do in faith need to be a daily practice that we grow in the faith through the difficult times, through the good times, through the struggles and through the triumphs, that we are daily practicing. It can be as simple as reading a little bit of scripture every day and just hearing how the Spirit speaks, of making sure that you have some time for prayer. And if you don't know what to say, the good news is Jesus tells us you cannot do it wrong. He gives us one way of doing it wrong. He says, if you get up in front of everyone and try to be a big shot, try to show how brilliant you are, try to show off for everyone, well, you have your reward, Jesus says. That's not what we're going for. That's the only way, Jesus says, we can really mess it up. You can't really do it wrong. Because if you don't know what to say, the Bible tells us that the Spirit, who groans deeper than our words, will connect with the Father. If we would practice every day prayer and scripture, practice loving our neighbor. That's a practice. That's not easy. Loving our neighbor is not always easy. Sometimes our neighbor is irritating. Sometimes our neighbor is not particularly lovable, and yet we're called to love them. That's a practice. We might not be good at it at first. It might take us a while to practice that and be better at loving our neighbor as more of God's Spirit teaches us how to practice that faith. I don't think we want to see James as an opposition to Paul's writings in the New Testament. I think we need to see James as a challenge to take it even further. Yes, we are not a people of the Old Testament law. We are redeemed through Jesus Christ, and the law is fulfilled, Jesus says. Not abolished, fulfilled in Jesus. And yes, faith is how we are connected with God through His grace. And it's not of our works that we boast. That doesn't mean we put them aside. James reminds us, no, this is a practice. It's a practice of faith. And so we want to be in church, learning together, praising God together. We want to pray every day. We want to read the scriptures. We want to practice loving our neighbor, showing kindness, even when that is a struggle. All the things that God would have us do as Christians. What would God have you do as a Christian? You might not be good at it, but practice makes perfect, is the old saying. We can move on towards perfection, as Wesley would say. Move on towards perfection comes in practice. And so we put that into practice even now. Every week we have a tradition in this church where we pray together because we believe in prayer. And we believe that is crucial for our Christian life. Certainly we don't want it to be the only time that you pray, but it's one of the times that we pray together as a group. And I'll start our prayer. And then we invite you to pray if you like. You can pray out loud. And you can pray in any language that you want. We have many languages and nations represented here, and we love it if someone prays in a language other than English. That's a wonderful moment. So pray in any language you want, or you don't have to pray aloud, of course. We can just have a silent moment of prayer together because God hears the prayers of our heart in silence as well. This is a practice of faith. Let's connect with God together. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you that you are a God of grace. You place within us the capacity to have relationship with you, to have faith in you, to be connected with you on a spiritual level. Lord, help us not to see that as just a one-time event, a connection with you that started maybe many years ago. But help us to see it as a practice. Something we live out in our deeds every day. That we make priority gathering together to worship you. That we make priority to pray to you, to read your scriptures, to love our neighbor. And Lord, maybe sometimes it's a struggle to go to church with our busy schedules. Sometimes we don't even know what to say in our prayers. Sometimes the scriptures confuse us. It's beyond our understanding. Sometimes we find our neighbor not very lovable. Lord, help us to practice, to be better in the work of faith, in our deeds of living out the Christian faith. Help us to draw from your Spirit the ability to do all that, to know that we are developing not just in our actions, but in our relationship with you that affects our actions. Help us, Lord, to be more in the practice of our faith as we come together as your people, as your children, to lift our prayers to you.